Let's gavel. Welcome or welcome back. My name is Bailey and you're listening to Let's Gavel. Thank you all for joining us. We so appreciate you being here. I am recording my solo episode today. Hamase, I miss you so much. You guys, if you have not had the chance to check out our episode, please listen. It was honestly so amazing. I cannot say enough good things, and it's not just because she's my co-host and I love her. If I did not love her, I would still say check out the episode because it's awesome. If you notice a rasp to my voice, it's not me trying to be cute. I am recovering from losing my voice, so bear with me this episode. But I wanted to get an episode out, so here we are. I am choosing to talk about something that's very near and dear to my heart today. You may or may not have picked up on my history in this profession. I've had a unique run with the law thus far since becoming an attorney. It is my testimony, if you will, and definitely have grown from it. And if nothing else, I am happy to be able to share what I've learned with you all. So today, I will be talking about how to find the right boss or how to avoid choosing the wrong one. You guys, I am at this point more than qualified to speak on this subject. What I want to do is kind of talk to you guys about my experience, but mostly what I did that I think I would not do again, and how to avoid being in the wrong situation. Because as we know, we spend most of our time at work, and if you have the wrong boss or if you're in the wrong environment, that can weigh on you. Staying in a job with the wrong boss takes more from you or can take more from you than having no job at all. A bad boss can make you question your competence, make you question who you are professionally, make you question the career choice, make you want to go make cupcakes instead of pursuing law. So let's be better at choosing who we work with and who we work for. So finding a good boss starts at the interview stage. In the interview, we are taught how to present ourselves, how to be the best version of ourselves for the interview so we can get a job offer. You know, it's what we're trained to do. There's so many resources on how to best do that, how to best articulate yourself, how to best create your elevator speech so that you can speak quickly about your best accolades and make yourself well known and make yourself unforgettable. All that super important. This episode and what I want to speak about today is not going to negate or contradict any of that. It's going to supplement it in that I think, at least for me, when I'm in the interview setting, sometimes it becomes more about me and me trying to put on a show to get the job. So I'm really good at getting a job offer. Whether it's by the best person or the best company, I can say that that hasn't been my strong suit in choosing the best people to work with. But will I get a job offer? Yes. And our job offer is great? Yes. Sometimes a bad boss costs more than unemployment. Let me just paint a picture for how I've kind of operated through my interviews. So you apply to the job. Great. You get the interview. Wonderful. Congratulations for that, because getting an interview is no small feat, especially in this economy today. You got the interview. You know, you put your suit on, you're prepared, you're ready to answer strengths versus weaknesses, you're ready to answer, you're at the time where you resolve conflict, you're ready to answer all the questions. So then you get to the end of the interview and they ask, hey, do you have any questions? And usually, I mean, I may have one or two and they're basic, or sometimes I'll ask even more of a personal question that's like, what is your favorite part of this job? Or what do you like in the day-to-day work that you're doing? Something like that. But babe, that, okay, it's not sufficient. That question section of the interview is honestly, I think, the most important part of the interview. It gives you an opportunity to interview them. At that moment is the moment for you to evaluate who you're working with. It's a moment for you to ask, you know, what is your management style? Or what is the best and worst part of your job? Or what makes this company special in how they reward their employees for good work or for meeting their billable hours or for something? Because I've had jobs where they've said things to me like, we value our employees. We have employee appreciation. We give bonuses. We're like a family. And all those things fell short by more than a mile. It was not even close to that. And so I think when you ask those questions and in that interview setting, try your best to focus on how they're speaking. Try to get a read for their personality. And while you're in the office, if you're in an in-person interview, look around. Don't sit there waiting to be called, like scared, practicing what you're going to say. Like, you know who you are. You know your story. At the end of the day, even if it doesn't come out the most articulate, you have the qualifications, you have the resume, you have the background to get the job, you know? And I think there's so much pressure when you're interviewing, when you finally get the interview. In this career, I think as lawyers, but also just maybe in other professional settings as well, once you get the interview, it's like, take what you can get, be grateful, don't ask any questions, just take it. You know, it's a great job. You get your foot in the door, you start working, you can lateral afterward. But I honestly think that you should pause. I think that you should pause and take into account what you're signing up for. Ask about the culture. You should ask to shadow for a day. You should ask to see the office space that they promised you that you would have. You should ask to meet other associates or other staff there so that you can speak with them candidly to understand their perspective of things. And it shouldn't be awkward, and bosses shouldn't be turned off by that, because what they want is a well-rounded person that's going to come in not only with the skills, but with a personality type that fits the culture that they've already cultivated, right? And so you want the same thing. You're coming in with your personality, you're coming in with your background, and you want to be in a culture that meets you where you are and helps you to grow. An environment that doesn't try to minimize you, try to sabotage you, try to undermine you, anything like that. Where I went wrong in the interview setting is I'm super, like, my personality is super, like, you know, yes, I can do that. Of course I can do that. Of course I can learn that. Of course, like, I'm capable of doing that. And I feel comfortable with that. And I can go to court and I can do this and I can drive everywhere. And so I kind of, like, maybe turn into too much of, like, a yes man, yes woman. And I'm just like, yeah, sure. And I think it's easy to do that, especially when you're interviewing for a prestigious firm and you don't want to push back, or you don't want to have standards that can seem as though there are a turnoff to that employer. But you must have a standard. So I was in an interview once. I work in immigration and family law, laws that pull at the heartstrings naturally, right? You're working with families, you're working with vulnerable populations. And so what they want to see a lot of times in the interview is your compassion. Are you empathetic? How do you care for your clients? How will you care for my clients? And that's who I am. It's not hard for me to be compassionate because it comes natural to me, you know? I literally logged off of the Zoom interview and got the job offer less than 5 minutes after I ended the Zoom call. I did not even have enough time to I called my mom, but I could not even tell her how the interview went before I was receiving the job offer. I don't know. Like, honestly, thinking back, I don't know if that was great. You know, in the moment, I felt like, wow, like, they really know, like, they're sure about me, which feels good when you're in the process of interviewing and you're interviewing for so many people and there's so many callbacks and there's so many other steps. And then, boom, offer the job. And it was almost too easy. I tried to ask my little questions. I said, do I have an office space? And they said, yes. And do I have benefits? And they said, yes. And how's the culture? And they said, it's like family. And flash forward, okay, to where I don't have an office space. I don't even have a cubicle. I have a rotating space, which looks like me, my little briefcase on the floor with all my files day to day to day. I thought I had some benefits, and then I had some, and then some were actually taken away. And actually, the benefit was the fact that we had water and a refrigerator. And they said, we don't have to offer you water. And so that's the benefit to working here. And the culture that I was promised that was going to look more like family was less like family and more like prison. And it felt like everything was being timed, everything was being watched, everything was being calculated. How many times you went to the restroom, how many times you were talking to other coworkers. Even if I went to go, you know, ask a coworker, how's your day going? Or do you need anything or anything? Like, everything was being watched. How long are you up there talking? How long are you at the printer? How long are you doing this? So much so that at some point cameras were installed in every single room. It was a literal surveillancing. When you're being watched so much, it starts to make you feel like you're doing something wrong, you know? And I was like, is anybody in here doing anything wrong? Is there anything wrong with creating morale or rapport with your coworkers? I wish that I had taken more time to think about it. Think, is this the right place for me? How much of the company that you're going to work for, can you understand before you take the job? I think that's the question. I think what happens in interviews is that they understand so much about us and we understand very little about them outside of the website, which is obviously going to sing their praises. And maybe you look up reviews that may have one or two bad reviews, which, you know, obviously that's normal. Understanding the culture where you're going to be spending 40 plus hours of your time is literally of the utmost importance. And I think that it starts in that interview stage. And I think in the interview stage, while everybody's all kiki, everyone's all sweet and nice, that's the time to kind of push a little bit further. Let me see as much as I can about what's behind the scenes before accepting the job. And I think that's okay. And I think that's scary because nobody wants to ruffle the feathers of a potential employer, but it doesn't hurt because, I mean, employers can literally blatantly lie. I've been told things like, you know, you can work remotely. I have no problem. You can work on the moon for all I care, as long as the work is done. Well, then I took the job, right? And then every 5 minutes, where are you? Where are you? I'm taking my lunch. Lunch is allowed. You know, I thought you said the way that you were, your tone and what I understood was that, yeah, you can work on the moon. And Lord knows I'm not on the moon. I'm just, you know, at my home office. Like, why is it now becoming a strenuous activity to work from home rather than something so easygoing and so effortless? Like, you were just, of course you can work from home. Why, of course you can do that. And I'm like, what? You are so kind and nice. I've had another employer tell me, we have 5 to 6 attorneys. This is a well-oiled machine. And then there was actually not 5 to 6 attorneys. It was only one. How could I have known that? Each time I've interviewed, I've tried to get better at being more serious about pushing that boundary a little bit more, pushing that line. What's important to understand in the interview is not only who you're working for, but understanding your role. Because let me just tell you the times, okay? And we're used to it, right? As lawyers, as professionals, everyone's to an extent, or I think maybe we've come to normalize the fact that our role that we've originally signed up for, it will probably expand. And by expand, I mean expand without the pay raise or the title of that expansion. You're still in the same position, but now you're wearing more hats. And so I think we've come to normalize that. I understand my role to be, you know, I'm a lawyer. You're going to go to court. You're going to negotiate with counsel to some extent. You're going to work with clients, period. You know, I have worn so many hats to this point that, I mean, I know how to work a law office to some extent from the front to the back, from the phone calls at the beginning, the screening, take payments from clients to filing documents. I have done all of that myself. And so my role has expanded significantly without raises, without recognition, without even so much as I see you taking on a lot more than we initially talked about. Thank you so much. I think that understanding your role at the beginning, like when you're in that interview stage and everyone's all nice and no one has taken that role yet of employer employee, right? So to some extent, you're not inferior. You're not underneath a boss. When you're in the interview stage, you guys are equal. They're looking for you just like you're looking for a company to work for. And so I think that at that stage, when you're equals, that's the time to get clarity. Okay. What am I doing day to day? What does that look like? What kind of cases do you have? How many cases do you have? Because if there are two attorneys and over 1,200 cases, that can create burnout. Take it from me. How experienced is your support staff? Because you can have 8 support staff, but if they're all out of college, never worked in the legal field, never had a job like this before, and the training is not great, how helpful is that going to be? Not to say that people out of college aren't helpful, but they know less, you know, and they're less experienced. And so my role has now expanded into more of a teaching role than maybe I would have expected. Or you have 8 paralegals, right? But then 7 of them are, 7 of them are allotted to just help the lead attorney. And so you have 1. So even though it sounded like you were going to have the support or the backing of the full firm, you actually don't. You know, you actually only have 1 paralegal who only helps you when they're not doing something for the lead attorney. So you're supported a lot less than you originally thought. And so that's something you can know. That's something you can find out. Please find it out. Please ask those questions because they affect you day to day, you know, and nothing is worse than when your burden and the caseload starts to increase and you're not being acknowledged for it. You're not being compensated for the extra. The roles that I've been in, I have felt so unappreciated, and it's hard because I am putting in work. And if there's 2 attorneys and I'm taking half of the caseload and I'm taking half of the responsibility, or I'm doing all of the court appearances and they're doing all the business, however it is, it weighs heavy on you. And after a while, you know, your under eye bags start to get deeper and your hair starts to get thinner. And it's not, you don't want that. And so if that's something you could have avoided or at least have had some knowledge to prior to even stepping foot in the firm, or maybe if you shadow the office, you could have seen other employees who may look stressed out, or they may look worried, or they may be telling you with their eyes, don't work here. It's awful. You know, pay attention. That leads me to another thing that I want to talk about is growth. The nature of my job in this environment where there's only 2 attorneys means that people are going to start noticing me. People are going to start seeing me. People are going to start bringing me gifts or thanking me or liking me. Working especially for the personality type of boss that I've had, they have struggled with wanting me to grow, because me growing, I think to them, means me overshadowing them in some way. Even though it's not my intention, that fear that they have had has presented itself in them undermining me, and then undervaluing me. I have been told things like, you are the heir to the throne. You are the only one that I want to be partner. But then say that I am the heir to the throne, right? Let's just say, why are you undermining me in front of clients while telling them she doesn't own the firm, so she doesn't know what she's talking about, after just telling them, you can trust her. She's great. She's my second in command. She's this. It's not unique to small firms. Some personalities see other people's growth as threatening to their own. Now the question is, how can you determine that, you know, sooner rather than later? Because I've always recognized that later. I guess maybe we can all think about, and I don't know the answer to this, is how can we kind of determine whether the place you're going is going to foster your growth. I was reminded of this when I was listening to Hamase's episode, because she spoke about having the ability to negotiate your salary or to negotiate a raise. And at some point in the episode, she says something like, but you have to have a boss or an employer that is willing to have that conversation with you. And I have traditionally had an employer that does not want me to grow to a certain extent. And for that reason, has avoided that conversation. That looks like put on the calendar, and the day comes, no, we have to move it. 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 And then it never happens. Or it looks like putting a date on the calendar and then them saying to me, I can't make it. My leg is hurt. I can't make it. My back is hurting. I can't make it. Today's a total toilet flush. I can't make it. Today's a wash or the meeting got lost in the balance of the day. I have had raise requests via email and writing, conversations that were supposed to be had, and they just never happened. And I pushed and I pushed and I pushed and I tried to set a meeting and I tried to reset it and I tried to say, let's have the conversation via phone. You don't have to, you know, if your back is hurting, let's have the conversation. You know, let me just walk in and have it. And no. Okay. We can't have it. We're not ready. We can't have that conversation right now. And then you guys, the conversation doesn't happen. And I don't get a raise. And I'm going into my second year working for a company where I'm taking on more and more, having not received any compensation or any conversation or any communication about anything. So the question is, how do we get bosses that want us to grow, that value our growth, and that have that conversation with us about money or about roles? Because I have just been downtrodden. I'm not hopeless. I'm still hopeful, and I'm thankful for my experience again, because it is unique among my friends and it is unique among people who I've spoken to. But that's what I want to inspire you guys, to warn you, to not just be nice. And we don't want to be so nice that we forget to value ourselves and we forget to ask the right questions, or we're just too scared to. It's worth being scared, and it's worth just asking it if you need to do it in writing, but get an answer. Because once you get in the job, it's a lot harder to demand that same type of respect. And for those like me, who have had, you know, have already had the wrong boss, or have already been in a situation that has been less than ideal, sometimes we try to talk ourselves into it. It's not that bad. It's okay. It's only a year. It's probably normal in this profession. You have to work hard when you're, you know, when you first start out. I have to, you know, hit the ground running. I have to burn the midnight oil. And then comes the money, and then comes the benefits, and then comes all the things. Yes and no, you know. Yes, as you gain more experience, as you become more well-known or more well-versed, rather, in your profession, you will be valued more. You will be compensated better. Yes, all that is true. But does that mean when you start out, or does that mean when you take a job, you have to be on the complete other side of the spectrum where you are treated less than you deserve, treated less than the degree that you worked super hard to get, and treated less than what feels like normal human decency, honestly? And I am not in the belief, nor do I believe, that anybody should be treated less than what a human should be treated. Treat people with kindness and respect, and at the very, very, very minimum, kindness and respect. You don't have to have 5-10 years of experience to get that. You shouldn't. You know, it's not fair. It's not right. You deserve it now. The devil you don't know could be the angel you never met, you know? And so don't just stay because you're comfortable. There is better out there. There has to be better out there, you guys. Or there has to be. There has to be employers that value you, that understand the work that you've done, that come to you with a, you know, with a raise opportunity, and not you having to beg them down to have one meeting with you, you know? And so, I say try. And when you are in the next interview setting, ask the questions, speak, even if your voice shakes, and ask, even if it's weird, even if it's awkward. You know, we're not God. We can't see the future. We can't know for sure. You'll never know 110% if this is going to be the right job for you. But can you find out 10% more than you did at the last job? Can you ask a couple more questions to have a little bit more insight into the environment or into the boss and the company that you're working for? All in all, choosing your boss is choosing your peace. It's choosing your future self. You know, you're allowed to want to be respected and allowed to want to be supported. Remember that, you know, from the beginning to the end. When you first step foot in the interview to the very moment that you decide to take the offer, and even when you're working there, you deserve to be treated the best. And so that's my 2 cents on that. That's all I have today. Until next time.